This is Carl Johnson with an essay from the back page. Several years ago, while I was browsing in an old used bookstore in the state of Texas, I stumbled across a leather-bound hymnal by Isaac Watts entitled The Psalms of David, Hymns and Spiritual Songs, published in 1787. I wrestled with myself about buying the historic hymnal, and finally I just decided it was a little bit too expensive for me. Later that night, when my wife Phyllis and I got home, I received a phone call from Linwood Smith, and I told him about the hymnal, and Linwood gasped, and he exclaimed, "You bought it, didn't you?" And I explained to him that I thought it was just a little bit too expensive, but Linwood protested. He said, "Carl, Isaac Watts is the father of English hymnody." He said, "Whatever you pay for the book is not an expense, it's an investment." Isaac Watts was born in Southampton, England, in 1674, the oldest of nine children. He was educated by his father, who was a preacher for the dissenters, and a man of such strong convictions that he was jailed twice for refusing to follow the Church of England. Isaac was an extremely intelligent child, learned to read Latin, Hebrew, and Greek, and graduated from a nonconformist academy at the age of 20. Upon graduating from the academy, Watts became a minister for a Church of Christ in London. Though he had a beautiful soul, apparently he wasn't much to look at. He was frail and often sickly. His head seemed too large for his 5-foot-tall body, and his small, piercing eyes and hooked nose didn't really enhance his appearance any either. A lady once fell in love with Isaac by reading his beautiful poetry, and she wrote him and arranged to meet him, but when she saw him, she was repulsed by his appearance. Watts fell in love with her and asked her to marry him, but her reply was, "Mr. Watts, I only wish I could admire the casket, the jewelry box, as much as I admire the jewel." Watts never married, but these two people remained friends for over 30 years. From the earliest age, Watts showed a prodigious ability to speak in rhyming verse. On one occasion during family devotions, little Isaac started laughing out loud, and when questioned about his actions, he explained that he had just observed a mouse crawling up a bell tower rope, and he had put the account into verse. A mouse, for want of better stairs, ran up a rope to say his prayers. Watts spoke so easily in rhyming verse that it was almost as though he had difficulty carrying on a normal conversation without rhyming the phrases. At one point, his father became so annoyed with Isaac's practice that he told him that if he didn't stop, he was going to get a whipping. When Isaac persisted with the rhyming, his father started to whip him, and little Isaac cried out, "O Father, do some pity take, and I will no more verses make." In the aftermath of the Great Reformation, churches earnestly desired to remain faithful to their battle cry of sola scriptura, by scripture alone, in every detail of faith and life, including their view of music. Most churches believe the Bible provided sufficient revelation even in the area of song. John Calvin, in particular, insisted that church music should consist of nothing more and nothing less than the Psalms of David. The Psalms, therefore, were set to poetic meter, arranging the number of syllables per line to give the cadence of poetry. And for the first several years of the Reformation, they were sung or chanted exclusively in most church services. One day, Isaac complained to his father that he found the dissonant sounds of the dry metric psalms very boring. His father challenged him not to complain, but rather to produce something himself that would be worth singing. Watts accepted the challenge, and after graduating from the university, he returned home and began writing hymns. The bulk of his great work was done in the next 2 years, and eventually he produced upwards of 600 hymns, including When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, Am I a Soldier of the Cross, and Joy to the World. It was also during that same period that he completed his most hailed accomplishment of rewriting the Psalms of David in rhyming English verse. Though Watts' work was considered unorthodox at first, it soon began to be accepted and became the perfect supplement to the lively preaching of the so-called Great Awakening and the American Restoration Movement. Other English composers began to follow Watts' lead, and the new era of English hymnody was born. After speaking with Linwood on the phone, I drove the 250-mile round trip to the used bookstore in Texas, and I bought Watts' hymnal. And incredibly, while I was there, I also stumbled across an 1836 leather-bound hymnal by Lowell Mason, called The Father of American Church Music, and a leather-bound 1860 hymnal published by Alexander Campbell. I bought all three of them. I figured it was a good investment.